Brain health has been very popular in the news lately, and this podcast is for you if you've ever had brain fog, cognitive decline, Alzheimer's, CTE, any of these issues. This is the podcast where we're going to jump into the latest research from Dr. Dale Bredesen, Dr. Daniel Amen, Dave Asprey of the Bulletproof Diet, so many other people, all the minds that are really out there paving the way, blazing a path for new research, new strategies that are actually working to get your brain optimized and working at its highest level. The Brain Builders Podcast is just for you. So get a notebook, get a pen, and get ready to open up your mind and get back to the person that you were meant to be. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Brain Builders Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. John DeWitt, and today we get back into Dave Asprey's book, Headstrong, The Bulletproof Plan to Activate Untapped Brain Energy to Work Smarter and Think Faster in Just 2 Weeks. And we're going to get back into Mr. Asprey's input regarding meditation. So studies show that meditation changes the brain on a structural level, okay? And that's something that we really, really need to focus on, because that is, it's called neuroplasticity. Think of it like strength training. When you lift weights, you gain visible results in the form of stronger, shapelier muscles. A regular meditation practice also yields visible results. You develop more folds in the outer layer of the brain, a trait that's highly correlated with intelligence across species. When you have more folds in your brain, it's easier to process information because your neurons can access more surface area within the same skull volume. That's interesting, huh? So in this case, you want more wrinkles. This is the only case I think you want more wrinkles. This allows them to communicate with each other more quickly and efficiently. Aging naturally flattens these folds, but meditation slows this process. Meditation also helps to thicken areas of the cortex and insula, which are regions of the brain associated with complex thought, bodily awareness, concentration, and problem solving. That also typically thin with age. And meditation has been shown to significantly reduce levels of the stress hormones cortisol and adrenaline, effectively reducing inflammation and calming your inner Labrador so that you can maintain focus and emotional stability under even the most challenging circumstances. Basically, meditation can help you feel sharp, stay calm, learn new things, and stop being a jerk. It's no surprise, then, that research shows that meditation can improve your relationships and make it easier for you to achieve your life goals. Very important. Of course, we wouldn't be talking about meditation if it didn't also have a positive impact on your mitochondria. A 2013 Harvard Medical Study found that people who practiced just 20 minutes of... Hold on one second... 20 minutes of relaxation response, which included diaphragmatic breathing, body scan, mantra repetition, and mindfulness meditation, experienced several health benefits, including reductions in hypertension, reductions in infertility, and reductions in depression. These benefits were attributed to improving mitochondrial energy production and utilization, and thus promoting mitochondrial resiliency. The effect was stronger in people who meditated regularly than in the newbies. But a noticeable difference was observed even after just one meditation session. It's almost as if those little ancient bacteria that run our cells are listening to your meditation and changing in response. Well, that's pretty cool. While studies have proven that meditation has a measurable impact on the brain, scientists are still investigating the mechanisms of how meditation improves your biology in other ways. But we do know that our mitochondria are involved in regulating every bodily system that is impacted by meditation. Is it too much of a stretch to suggest that our mitochondria, which sense the environment around us and tailor their energy production accordingly, also respond to meditation, as the earlier study essentially implied? I don't think so. To me, as in Dave Asprey, this is the most likely explanation as to why meditation has so many positive effects across bodily systems, and it is one that conveniently sidesteps the spiritual implications of meditation that make so many people uncomfortable. You might take issue with the idea of connecting to the divine, but it's hard to argue against making your mitochondria work better by taking control of your stress levels, and there's nothing stopping you from doing both. Of course, if meditation were easy, everyone would already have a stress-free life, and various religious believers wouldn't have spent thousands of years sitting in caves and monasteries learning how to do it. While meditation may look simple, believe me, it takes a lot of time and effort to sit in silence and calm your mind on a daily basis. He's practiced many forms of meditation throughout the years, and here's why. When Dave was a kid, he thought he'd be happy when he made $1 million, so he put all his effort into that. He ended up making $6 million when he was 26 years old. You know what he told himself then? That he'd be happy when he made $10 million, so he kept pushing, which caused him to lose it all when he was 28 years old. And the whole time, he wasn't happy. He was stressed, and his biology paid the price. It was then that he realized that no amount of thinking and rationalizing could compute his way to happiness, and he couldn't buy his way to it. So he resolved to hack the problem. After all, what other tools did he have besides hacking? He scraped together what little money he had left and did the following, which everybody I'm sure does. Let's see. He traveled to Tibet. So he decided to go to Tibet to learn meditation from the masters who originated it. He attended a 10-day silent Buddhist meditation retreat in Nepal. He spent 5 years practicing a daily Hindu-inspired art of living, breathing meditation with a group of uber-successful Silicon Valley friends. He tried a traditional ayahuasca ceremony in the Peruvian jungle long before tech CEOs could book them online. He learned advanced yoga and pranayama. Sorry if I'm not pronouncing that correctly. He fasted for days alone in a cave in the Sedona Desert, and he learned to hook electrodes to his head to measure his meditating brain waves. None of these experiences were easy, but they were beneficial and informative. Across all of these different forms of meditation, one common denominator he noticed was that he experienced better results when he received some sort of external feedback. Think of it like working out alone versus exercising with a trainer. Most people progress more efficiently when they have someone coaching and pushing them. That is so true. Same thing goes for building new muscles in your brain or mitochondria, as the case may be. And you can definitely attest to that if you've ever made a New Year's resolution, you want to lose weight, you want to get in shape and stuff like that. If you don't have someone to keep you accountable, like a personal trainer or something like that, it might happen, but it's going to be a lot more challenging. If you have somebody calling you at 6 a.m. or whatever, saying you got to get to the gym and pushing you through each rep, you're going to really improve and get there even faster. So is Dave suggesting you start shopping for a guru? Not exactly. Even the most observant meditation teachers can't tell you exactly what you're doing right or wrong, and certainly not in the moment. Any feedback would be delayed by the few seconds it takes them to observe your behavior and tell you about it. From the perspective of your nervous system or mitochondria, a few seconds might as well be 100 years. That is why he believes the best and most efficient way to meditate is in conjunction with technology that can provide instantaneous feedback. The most effective tool he has found is called EEG, electroencephalogram, neurofeedback. Although any technology that provides fast feedback can improve your meditation. With neurofeedback, a practitioner applies sensors to defined points on your scalp. These sensors monitor your brain waves and send them to a computer. Brain waves are electrical impulses from masses of neurons communicating with each other, and they can be detected easily from your scalp. The computer then converts your brain waves into sounds or images that offer you a visual or audible representation of what's happening inside your brain as you meditate. Every thought, feeling, or emotion you experience influences your brain waves, and they fluctuate constantly. When your brain waves are out of whack, you can have all sorts of emotional and neurological problems ranging from ADHD to anxiety and depression to rage and bipolar disorder. On the flip side, those conditions can cause your brain waves to be out of whack too. Either way, the properly constructed neurofeedback offers a rapid-fire look inside those brain waves, picking up a signal thousands of times every second. The results, charted on screen in real time, help you learn to perfect your meditation in far less time than it normally takes. And even experienced meditators can gain new, deep levels of awareness in shockingly small periods of time. Meditating with the aid of neurofeedback is like following a two-lane illuminated highway versus trying to follow a winding path in the dark with no flashlight. Both roads will get you to your destination, but one requires a lot more time because progress is slow and you can get lost on the way. To try neurofeedback, you can buy your own unit, find a practitioner, or go to a focus clinic. There are tens of thousands of neurofeedback practitioners and hundreds of different types of technologies. They range from profoundly effective in the hands of a proficient neurofeedback expert, you can gain enormous mental benefits, to profoundly dangerous in the hands of an inexperienced or ill-informed practitioner. Some people have gained anxiety and lost restful sleep for months. Just as with any other healthcare decision, it's vital to do your research and choose a reliable practitioner. The big risk with neurofeedback is that many systems are based on a model that collects data from the brainwaves of hundreds of people to calculate the average response of a quote-unquote normal brain. Then the technology trains your brain to that standard. If you have a below-average brain, this type of training can give you your life back. However, if you have an awesome brain, this type of training can take away some of your awesomeness. It's just like high school. A class taught to the lowest common denominator can make an F student into a C student, but at the same time, that class might not challenge an A student who would be held back from achieving his or her potential. He started experimenting with neurofeedback in 1997 when he purchased his first machine to use at home. Along the way, he trained at many clinics, experienced that one of them did have a negative impact on his cognitive abilities. It took him a full 2 weeks in his own private neurofeedback facility to reverse those effects and feel like himself again. These technologies are always evolving. On the Bulletproof website, he maintains an updated list of several safe and affordable systems you can purchase to use at home. These range from $300 entry-level systems with limited power to $5,000 systems that approach clinical-grade capabilities. If you're looking to take it to the next level, you can graduate from meditating in the traditional sense, where you try to clear your mind of all thoughts and use technology to help you focus on certain types of beneficial states. Encephalography, which I use at home, or he uses at home, is a type of feedback that focuses on increasing blood flow to the prefrontal cortex, which is the human brain. To do this, you strap a sensor to your forehead and then concentrate or think happy thoughts. When you do it right, blood rushes to the frontal lobe. The sensors detect the change in blood flow, and it provides feedback. With practice, you can start to grow the blood flow to your prefrontal cortex so that you're using your human brain more often than not, even when you get stressed out. This type of neurofeedback is particularly effective for people who suffer from ADHD. But by far the most extreme and, of course, most effective form of neurofeedback he's ever done is called 40 Years of Zen. He's done this program with more than 100 clients over the past 5 years. It's offered only in one place on earth, a $2.5 million facility in Seattle that looks something like Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters from the X-Men movies, but without the tennis court and invisible jet. It is an intensive 5-day, all-day, all-in program designed to put you in the same state of mind as an advanced Zen practitioner who's been practicing meditation for decades. Wow. Instead of relying on technology to tell your brain what to do, this program combines meditation techniques to show you what your mind is already doing so you can change it. CORE is a neurofeedback augmented reset technique that shows you how your brain is automatically and unconsciously responding to events in your life and then shows you how to turn off the reactivity. Another technique called retroframing works with feedback to allow clients to create the automatic subconscious reactions you want, all guided by neurofeedback. There are other modules to increase voltage potential in the brain, obviously driven by mitochondria, and to increase the speed of synaptic firing. All of this was unimaginable even 10 years ago, because signal processing hadn't come this far and our neurological knowledge of advanced Zen meditation states wasn't there yet either. This program has changed his cognitive ability so much that he spent 10 weeks of his life, about 70 days, with electrodes stuck to his head, training his brain and the mitochondria in his neurons until they wouldn't take any more. He wouldn't be writing this book or running a fast-growing company today if it weren't for the benefits he'd gained from this training. He's such a believer that he recently funded the creation of new 40 Years of Zen custom-built hardware and software so he can continue to push his brain to new levels. Nothing else has ever changed him this profoundly, and the effects are quantifiable. The height of his brain waves, which is the amplitude, is about 4 times higher than it was when he started neurofeedback, and his brain waves are measurably more organized and efficient. That is impressive. So now we're going to go into that more on meditation in the next episode of Brain Builders Podcast, and then we're going to give you specific brain exercises that can really help you optimize your brain function. This is Dr. John DeWitt. This has been the Brain Builders Podcast. And remember, always keep seeking that next level. Have a great day.